Live. What's up, it's your boy K9, and you're listening to The Kennel. Follow me on Instagram at K9 underscore Florida. Like, follow, share us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Amazon Music, and other major platforms. I got Miz in the building.
Bah, what it is, what's happening?
Now, y'all in store for a good ass story. I had a good ass celebrity guest on today's pod.
Ooh. Shit.
I'm going to air that after this football news. But as of right now, I got Miz in the building.
Big moves.
Big moves just happened. We just had some breaking news, actually.
Oh, shit.
Let's get into some coach news. You got Jim Harbaugh going to the Chargers. Breaking news. What's good? What's
Damn
good?
It, man.
Just won the national
Damn
championship
it,
with
man.
Michigan. Now he's with the
Back
Chargers.
Back in the NFL.
He's with Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's back. Finally got a coach, bro.
Oh, my God.
Justin Herbert, franchise quarterback.
Big moves.
Big moves. Big things about to happen with the Chargers. Y'all better look out. Shout out my boy Shane Bryan, biggest Chargers fan I know from Illinois.
Oh, shit.
That boy, diehard Chargers. Shout out. Big shout out,
big
bro.
Big shout out, man.
You should be happy. This is great news. You just got probably one of the best coaches in the world coaching your team. A team with a franchise quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
A team that just needed a good coach. You got Khalil Mack, bro. He's still the best pass rusher in the NFL, bro.
Yeah.
Six sack game?
Bro, how six many sacks he had this year?
I don't even know the total 14 number.
14 and a half, 15?
He had six in one game, I'm pretty sure, bro. Don't quote me on it, but I'm pretty sure
four
he peers. Did.
7-7-2.
That boy straight out of Westwood, 7-7-2.
Chill out.
Four peers. What's good? Khalil Mack, that's my boy.
Oh, shit.
That's my boy. I never met him, but he's my boy.
Bro.
Play for my diehard Bears. Bear down, baby. Bear down, baby. Ooh. Bears got some big news, too, man. We got a new OC. We got Shane Waldron from the Seattle Seahawks. He was the OC for Seattle. He put Geno Smith on the map. Everybody said this dude was a bust.
Move. That's not a bad move.
Everybody said Geno Smith was the biggest bust ever. Sucked. Made West Virginia look bad. He goes to Seattle. This dude's a top five quarterback in the league. And a lot of it had to do with my dog, Shane Waldron. What's good? Bears finally making some good moves, getting some coaches in the building. Get Luke Getsy out of there, a quarterback's coach that Aaron Rodgers made look good. We got Shane Waldron, somebody that made somebody else look good. Not somebody... I don't even want to say the D word, but D-Rod and Aaron Rodgers.
Oh,
you know
shit.
What I'm saying? He was a quarterback's coach for Aaron Rodgers, and he comes in the Bears like, he's big dog. You know, Aaron Rodgers made you look good. You probably came in to narc and give our plays to the damn Packers because we can't beat them.
We can't beat them.
It's like they know our plays.
Damn,
they finally made a good move. I'm excited for the Bears. That's Bears news. Your Packers. We haven't had a chance to talk about it. Joe the Bus Berry. The defensive coordinator that you've talked much trash about.
Bye-bye.
So much trash. Even after those wins in the playoffs, you said it.
Bro,
it was like you knew. You had inside information. Who do you know? Who do you know in the Packers organization?
He had to go.
I wouldn't have bet. If I bet on it, I would have said he's not going to get fired because he did.
He did all right,
He
bro.
Did good in the playoffs. He had a couple of bad regular season games.
It was horrible.
Oh man.
Made the fucking Panthers look great.
I know, but
Bryce Young balled.
Bryce Young did ball.
Baker Mayfield balled at Lambeau.
Baker Mayfield balled on Philly though too. Baker Mayfield's a little baller. You know
Philly started going downhill, you know what I'm saying? And we got some good defensive players. They got some good defensive players, so
So how do you feel about it? I know like you predicted this. You hate Joe Barry. Tell me how you feel. How happy are you?
I'm excited. You heard us in the beginning of this pod. I'm just excited as you are, bro.
You hate Joe Barry. It's because of the Panthers game. That's what did it.
It's not hate, bro. It's just, what is he doing?
I don't know. You've called him out a couple times on this podcast. Like, I almost got to the point where I'm like, bro, this is personal.
I'm calling plays, bro, as I'm watching the game.
Oh, my God. You're saying he's a bad play caller.
Super bad.
Super bad. I hate a bad play caller.
Horrible.
Oh, God.
They know they attack the middle of the field because they know ain't no one covering the middle of the field.
I know the Panthers game is the past one that did it to you, bro. Because Bryce Young didn't really ball on anybody else but the Packers.
That shit pissed me off.
Yeah, the Bears shut his shit down. I loved
that
it.
That shit pissed finally me looked off.
Good. Oh, man. All right, and then you got Vic Fangio going to the Eagles. Defensive coordinator. He was the D coordinator for the Dolphins.
They needed one bad.
This past
just
year.
Just like the Packers.
The Eagles have fired everybody but Mike Sirianni. Pretty sure I forgot his first name. Nick Sirianni.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Nick Sirianni of the Eagles. He's staying, but everybody else is gone. They fired the D corner, the offensive coordinator, but they just hired Vic Fangio to run the defense. I mean, Vic Fangio, the Dolphins were banged up. That's not his fault. I was almost like every starter on the Dolphins' defense was hurt.
Both the ends, you know what I'm saying? Middle linebacker.
Yeah, and it was a tough game. You're going into Kansas City and negative 30 degrees. You're going up against the best quarterback in the NFL.
They ain't ready for that, you know what I'm saying?
No.
They wasn't.
But I don't think it's Vic Fangio's fault. But maybe he got more money with the Eagles. I don't know. But when he was the D coordinator for the Bears, he was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Then he went to Denver to be a head coach. It didn't work out. So then he went back to being a D coordinator. But Vic Fangio is somebody I would be happy about if I was an Eagles fan, because that team had the worst collapse I've ever seen.
Oh, my God, ever seen.
And that on both horrible. Sides of the ball. It wasn't just the offense or just the defense. They just shut down.
Yeah, man.
They were shut down. They were a bad team.
Like, their morale just went down. They didn't want to play ball no more.
I really do believe that A.J. Brown will not be on the Eagles next year.
No.
After all that, I don't think they put all the information that really happened out there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think they kept a lot of that behind closed doors. But him not playing, him deleting all of his stuff on Twitter and all of his social medias and doing all that immature shit, it leads you to believe that something happened.
Yeah.
Something happened. So... Shit. I wouldn't be surprised if the Eagles make some other big changes. They're getting a new offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. They might get rid of a couple players. Jason Kelce retired.
Retired, gone.
That's a big part of that offense.
Yeah.
That's big for the Eagles.
Oh, yeah.
So they got some searching to do. They got to figure some stuff out if they want to compete. So that's mostly the coach news. Let's go over last week's games. Because there was some great games, and I know obviously you were affected by it being a diehard Packers
heartbroken,
fan.
Heartbroken. Man.
So let's just start with that. The Packers 21, 49ers 24. Packers should have won that game. Break it down for me.
Packers definitely outplayed the 49ers, bro.
They
all
did.
All game.
Yeah.
Two minutes left. 49ers outplayed them.
Yeah, that.
You know what I'm saying? Like. Super heartbroken. Kicker missed, what, 3 field goals?
I'm pretty sure one of them got blocked. Was it him that one of them got blocked?
Yeah, I think one got blocked.
One got blocked.
He missed two, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that last one he kicked wasn't even close.
Oh, my God.
Wasn't even close. And you could see him on the sideline, bro. He was nervous. Yeah, he did not want to kick that winning field goal.
Matt
he did not want to go out
there. He prays every time that kicker goes out there.
Oh, God. I hate to say this because I know it's going to break your heart. I think the Packers could have won the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah.
They would have probably went up against Kansas City and lost. But, dude, they should have beat the 49ers. Yeah. And then you figure you're playing the Lions.
Yeah.
If you can beat the 49ers, you can beat the Lions.
Yeah.
You know, playing in Detroit is tough. But I definitely think the Packers had a good chance at least going to the Super Bowl if they finished that game.
Jordan Love throwing 2 interceptions.
That last one was.
There was a lot of pressure on that man. First year starter.
Yeah.
Made the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, like, I give that man a, you know, shit. I wish I could give him a hug.
Yeah.
I'm just glad they made the playoffs, shit, you know?
They looked really good. As a Bears fan, I'm obviously worried about this. This is a team we got to play twice a year, and they're young,
and these guys
are only probably going to get better.
And
this was his first year as a starting quarterback. And he was, you know, kind of shitty at first, but then he picked it up.
He picked it up.
He picked it up big time. I like Jordan Love.
Yeah.
You know, as a Bears fan, I might have some feedback about that comment. But But I do like him.
Some respect there.
Yeah, because you know what? He's not like Aaron Rodgers and just an arrogant asshole. Yeah. You know, he's humble. And I was like, all right. You know, he beats our ass, but at least he don't brag about it. Aaron Rodgers, I own Chicago and State Farm double checks and belts. Oh. Bro, if I was at that game, I would have ran on the field and sucker punched him. He owns Chicago. You don't say shit like that, bro.
In Chicago.
In Chicago to our fans. I told Day, I was watching the game live. I was like, if I was there, bro, I would have hopped the fence. I would have been pissed. My God. You don't say that in our turf, bro. If you were at Lambeau and you said that, it's like, all right, you know, whatever.
Didn't he say, like, fuck you, I own you or some shit?
I think he said it to some kids, too, bro. He was, like, flicking off. Like, I don't know. Bro, he was wild when he was on the Packers. Just know that. Especially to Chicago. We couldn't beat him. We couldn't.
Yeah, pissed me off. Too good, man.
God, I hate him. God, I hate him. You still hate him,
even though he's on the Jets?
Yeah, I think so. Shit like that lasts a while. I'm not. It hasn't happened that long ago.
Your mom loves him, though.
Yeah, that's her. You know? I still say, fuck Aaron Rodgers, you know? Shit, yeah, no, fuck that. But no, Jordan Love, yeah. I think he's good. I don't think he's as good as Aaron Rodgers, but I like how he's humble. I like how he carries himself.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good player.
I feel bad for him, man. His dad, you know, passed away when he was young. And
damn, RIP, bro.
RIP.
RIP.
Bro, I was watching something about him, bro, and he was only like 5'9 or some shit when he first started playing football in high school. Buddy hit that growth spurt and hit 6'4". Just out of nowhere. How's that happen? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I don't know why that gets me so hyped. Like, these dudes are like, yeah, I was like 5'8". I went to sleep. I woke up, I was like 6'5". I'm like, that's fucking awesome. Yeah. Like, these
almost
dudes.
Almost like my little brother. We all thought my little brother was going to be short. Like 5'10", you know, the tallest. Bro, he's about like 6'3.5", you know, out of nowhere. After ninth grade, he started playing football out of nowhere.
It's just like happens overnight. You just like wake up one day and you're like fucking foot taller.
I seen him like a month later. He's huge, playing tackle, starting tackle.
I bet it hurts like hell. Oh, I bet you're fucking weak. You're fucking feeling like shit. You probably sleep like 20 hours that day.
Dude.
Yeah.
I don't know because I've been tall all fifth grade. I was like 6'1".
You don't even remember the pain. You're so young, you didn't feel it.
No.
The Packers should have won that game. Anders Carlson, I don't think he'll be on the team.
No, he's a rookie too. I feel bad.
Who knows? They might stick with him, but I don't think they will.
Maybe a backup kicker, you know? But they just signed a kicker from a big Georgia Bulldogs.
Oh, so yeah, he's gone. You don't have two kickers. No, they're not going to save a roster spot for a backup kicker. No, hell no. I don't think any team. Look at the Houston Texans. When their kicker got hurt, they had that running back go out there.
That's true.
Yeah, they didn't have no backup kicker. Maybe the punter, but sometimes the punter can't kick field goals.
Put him on the practice squad, shit.
Yeah, but you can't activate him for that game when the guy got hurt. You know, the next game you could. Not that same game.
Not the same game, but the next game. Yeah,
the next game you could. Yeah, or you could
sign
somebody.
Throw him on the practice
squad,
you know?
Yeah, you could sign somebody, definitely.
Kick some balls on the practice squad for a little bit. Practice.
All right, let's get into the other game that happened that day. The Texans went to Baltimore. Texans only scored 10 points. Their only touchdown was a punt return. And the Ravens scored 34 points. They looked good. The defense looked good. Lamar ran like a fool.
He might win MVP this year.
Truz went off.
Yeah.
The Chiefs and the Ravens are going to be a good-ass game,
That's
going to
be a
bro.
Great game.
I want Lamar to win, but I don't think he's going to. I just think Mahomes is... I think the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl now. I'm going to get into that. That's just a tease. Wait till you hear what I say about that.
Dude.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say it now, because I'm going to take a drink before I say that shit.
Oh, man, take a shot of tequila.
Where is it? CJ Stroud couldn't get nothing going. The offense couldn't get nothing going. Only touchdown was a punt return. By a practice squad punt returner, like that was like a 1 in a million. That was crazy.
Yeah.
But other than that, they should have only had 3 points. So Ravens just blew them out. And when we did our podcast last week, when we gave our picks, we went 3 out of 4, but the only one we lost was Houston.
Oh, man.
We took Houston with the 10 points, but they got blown out. But we were 3 out of 4. So if you did bet what we said, you made money last week.
Cash flow.
Bro, you made people money last week, bro. They should, like, tip you.
I need to be on this bitch or something.
Yeah, put your Cash App out there. Oh, man.
Fuck with your boy, you know?
Oh, okay.
Good luck, Miz, out there.
No. Money sign Miz.
Money sign Miz.
Send the money.
Send the money.
Somebody else probably has that account name. They're gonna
chase in the bag.
Chase in the bag. Jamar Chase, baby.
Jamar Chase.
That's my dog. LSU. The Bayou.
He did me right for fantasy.
Kaizen.
Oh, shit.
Bro. When Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase were on the team.
Oh, my God.
And Justin Jefferson. Bro, that was the best college offense probably ever.
They would beat the worst NFL team that year.
Yeah.
100%.
100%.
Knock them
no,
loose.
Yeah. They like, would have beat, yeah.
Because their defense was good, too, that year.
Their defense was good, too. I can't even name everybody off the top of my head right now.
Bro.
But
most of them are in the league.
Yeah, like their whole starting lineup's like NFL starters. Yep. It's nuts. And Joe Burrow was phenomenal that year.
Don't make no sense. Big Gar Burrow.
Big dog.
Oh, big Gar. Oh, shit.
Raw.
Oh,
bang, bang.
Joint
got me feeling crazy.
Yeah, dude. The Smirnoff is pretty good, too.
You like that?
The Smirnoff.
It's like a little bitch drink, but we're drinking it and it tastes really good.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to work tomorrow. I get up at fucking 4:30. Fuck off.
Fuck off. Oh, shit.
All right, so Sunday we had the Bucks at the Lions, bro.
Wow.
For a second, I thought the Bucks were going to win that game, bro.
I did, too.
They lost some momentum when they missed that field
goal.
A lot
of these games were close in, like, the first and second quarter, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of them.
They were good games till the end, all of them, just about, besides the Ravens.
Yep.
But I was hoping, man, I know I said last week, let's go Detroit. I love Detroit. Like, I want this to happen for them. They've never won it.
Even though they're in our fucking division.
Even though they're in our division. Bro, I'll be honest with you, bro. This is some, like, deep shit. I don't hug my dad. I probably hugged my dad one time in the past fucking since I was 18 years old. And you know the one time I hugged my dad? It was when the Cubs won the World Series. 112 years. 112 damn years. We hugged, bro. And I'm telling you, if you're like me and you're a Lions fan, you and your dad are going to hug because it's never happened before.
Good moment.
Bro, it's a good moment. I still want the Lions to win. Something you don't forget, bro. When the Cubs won the World Series, it was crazy. 112 years, bro. Wow. I've been a Cubs fan. 112 years they went without winning it. A major team like that. I know I brought it up last podcast, but that's how I look at Detroit. That's what I'm saying, in other words.
Yeah.
I don't mean to get too off topic, but that's what this is of the Lions, bro. Detroit needs this, bro.
They do.
This might change the city of Detroit, bro.
Dog.
For real. They've been, like, you know, known as, like, a slummy, like, ghetto city.
Yeah, man.
Nobody wants to go there. It's in the Midwest. It's cold. You know, they had that water crisis in Michigan.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
Michigan's went through some shit, bro. The Lions need this. Detroit needs this.
They need a Lombardi fucking trophy.
They need it. They need it. It'll put Detroit on the map. It'll change this city. If you're living in Detroit, bro, you're 100% into this.
Oh, yeah.
Eminem won me over. When they did Lose Yourself in the Crowd, I was up, bobbing my head, rapping it with them, bro. I'm like, let's go to Detroit.
Go get a Detroit jersey.
I'll get one.
Golf.
Nah, I don't know if I will. No. If I did get one, who would you get if you could get one? Out of the whole roster, who would you get? Lions.
I'm fucking with Gibbs, bro.
Gibbs, I was number 26. He's fire from Alabama.
Yeah.
I was going to say Gibbs, too, or Amrah.
Amrah.
My cousin calls him the
Saint
Joker.
Brown.
That dude is
There's
so good.
There's a lot of
good.
Hate on my man this year, man.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think he might be the best route runner. Like, route runner, however you want to say it. I think he's the best.
That gas,
bro. That
gas guy's talking crazy.
You know what I'm saying? He's not, like, the most, like, athletic or biggest dude.
Bro, he's a baller, and they...
Yeah.
They did that man dirty.
He's really good, man.
Yeah.
This year, like, proved to me, I'm like, damn, he is really that good.
Anything that goes his way, he's catching that bitch.
His brother's on the Bears and he sucks.
I know he's on the Packers and he sucks.
Yeah, what's up with that? His brother didn't get none of the same genetics?
And his brother's taller, too. His brother's like
Are they like
half
brothers or something? Or they got the same mom and dad?
Yeah, bro. Got a little documentary out there.
How the hell that happened?
I have no clue.
You would think like your full blood brother would have like the same skills you have.
Put him at tight end or something. Put some weight on him. Put him at tight end.
Yeah, he didn't do anything for the Bears. At first, I kind of got hype. I'm like, oh, that's his brother. I was like, thinking big about
it.
He
didn't do shit for the Packers.
No.
No.
He didn't do nothing for the Bears either.
No. Like, like Tonyan. Bus. He should have just stayed. But we don't need him.
Nah, he don't.
Musgrave. Kraft.
Yeah, I like Kraft. He's a dog, bro. Yeah, I like Musgrave, too, but he gets hurt too much. Yeah. I like Kraft. They're both really good, though. I like both of them. Like I've said, the Packers got a scary good young team.
It's, oh, yeah.
The Bears definitely got to do something to keep up. But Detroit needs this. Detroit needs this. This is big for the city. So Detroit won 31-23. It was a pretty close game to the end. But Detroit, their offense was just too good.
Yeah.
Baker couldn't keep up with that. No. Then you had probably the best game. You had the Chiefs 27 beating the Bills in Buffalo big to 24.
Buffy, bro.
Another missed field goal at the end. Tyler Bass. I mean, the city of Buffalo is, like, going after the dude. Like, people are having to post on social media, like, quit bullying him. It's not fair.
Damn.
Like, bro, they're going at him, bro. Like, it's bad.
You might as well take a trip to Hawaii, my guy.
You might have to change his name.
Oh, like my God.
Be, like, John Smith in, like, Texas or something.
Dye your hair, bro.
North Dakota State. Something, like, somewhere.
Yeah.
Away from where you're at now.
XFL.
XFL.
Yeah, just...
The Rock.
The Rock.
You seen how the XFL and the USFL combined?
Combined, bro.
Combined. They got rid of the Orlando Guardians.
No.
Oh, man.
They were balling,
too. I was going to make a whole podcast about this topic. How they got rid of our team, the Orlando Guardians, in the XFL. That was our team, bro. Yeah, it's no longer a team. After 1 year, done.
What?
Yep, done. That's it. That's the history of the Orlando Guardians. Over.
Wow.
They don't have a team anymore. That's one of the teams. They had to drop like 8 teams, like 4 from each company.
No shit.
Orlando is one of the teams that got dropped, bro.
Wow.
Yeah, because they're combining the leagues. I mean, I didn't watch either one of them.
No, I didn't.
Really. I'm just being dramatic about the Orlando Guardians.
Yeah, that one dude, King, on there from Hurricanes.
I did, yeah. And I watched
he balled out for them.
Yeah. He was pretty good, but... I mean, it was honestly just kind of hard to watch, bro. It's like minor league football, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're used to watching NFL. No, hell no. Hell no. It's minor league football. That's what it is. Like, any guy that's really that good, they're not going to play in that league.
No. Fuck no.
No. But, I mean, there is some good competition, like some good games and stuff like that, but it is hard to watch if you're a big NFL guy.
Yeah.
So, that can be a topic for another day. But let's go over this week's games and wrap this up. You got the Chiefs going to Baltimore to play the Ravens. The Ravens are favored by 3.5. Give me your opinion on it. What you think?
I'm going with the Ravens because their defense has got that squad. Raekwon Smith reminds me a little bit of Ray Lewis. He's looking good back there. I don't know why the Bears got rid of him. That's kind of sad, but
ooh.
Tear.
You're liking the Ravens. What about Lamar? How's Lamar going to play?
He's been looking good in the playoffs, bro. Usually chokes. But, yeah, I'm gonna go with my guy. I'm gonna go with the Ravens.
All right. Kind of teased it before. Just want to apologize to Patrick Mahomes. I doubted you, and you proved me wrong once again. This dude is the best quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, shit.
His receivers are catching the ball now. I think Travis Kelce's going to retire. He's showing off for T. Swift. This might be his last go at a Super Bowl.
You think so?
Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah?
Yeah.
T. Swift.
The world's going to go nuts. It's so good of a story.
You think so? It might even be scripted. Called, like, Super Bowl?
For all those people out there.
Will it be called Super Bowl or Kelce?
Swifty trailer.
Oh,
trailer.
Shit.
Taylor and Travis. Trailer.
Trailer?
The trailer Super Bowl.
Oh my God.
Think about the media that's going to go, how much money that's going to, it's going to be crazy, bro. I would honestly be surprised if the Ravens won this game. I like the Chiefs plus 3.5. You know, that gives you a 3.5 point spread even if they do lose, because if they do lose, it's going to be a close game. It's going to come down to the last possession.
It's going to be a close game for sure.
100%. It's going to come down to probably who gets the ball last if the kicker hits it. But the thing is, the Ravens have the best kicker of all time, Justin Tucker. So he could pull out a 58-yard field goal to win the game.
Dude.
Yeah. I've seen him make a damn 65-yard field goal to win a game before, and I won money on it. Yeah, last year. He has the record for the longest kick, and he's the most accurate ever. You got the best kicker ever. That's gonna come. That's actually a big deal in this game.
Oh yeah, it is.
Think about if the Packers had Justin Tucker, y'all would be in the NFC Championship.
Who would have won?
That boy was too nervous, bro. He wasn't ready for that.
No, he's a rookie. You get a rookie out there. He's not used to that shit.
Anders, man. I'm sorry, Patrick Mahomes. I think this is going to be another Super Bowl for Patrick Mahomes. You know, I love Lamar Jackson. He's from Florida. We love him. We call him Truz. You know what I'm saying? We shout him out. We're big Lamar Jackson fans. I love him in fantasy football. I love him as a player. Love him as a person. I want him to win, bro. Yeah. I do. I love Patrick Mahomes, too. I love that he has that dog in him, and he's great. Maybe the best ever might end up being. But, man, I just don't think the Ravens, I don't know if they're going to be able to do it.
You don't know if they're ready.
Mahomes is something different, bro. Mahomes is something different, man. But the Ravens' defense is really good, really good, like you said. Lamar's finally got weapons. This year is different. They could do this. This is going to be a great game. I'm honestly surprised it's a 3 o'clock game and not the 6 o'clock game.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's way more of a primetime game than Detroit-San Fran. Like, starting with this and then going to Detroit-San Fran, like, I'm hoping that's going to be a good game,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it should be Detroit-San Fran, then that.
Yeah, you got MVP going up against former MVP. It's like, this is a big game. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is... Whoever wins this is probably going to win the Super Bowl with the way it's looking now.
Yeah, for sure.
That brings us to the other game. You have Detroit at San Francisco. They're the 6 o'clock, 6:30 game. Detroit's plus 7. So they're saying that San Francisco is at least going to win by a touchdown. Deebo Samuel is 50-50. Now, we don't know if that's Shanahan playing his games, and he already knows he's not playing. But he's still saying it so the other team, you know, prepares for him.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing. You know, he's a little shicey dude. But that's a big difference to me if Deebo plays or not.
Yeah.
Because he means so much to that team.
A lot to the team. You see what happened when they went against the Packers.
When Debo's not out there, you can put everybody on McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Because you know that's who's going to get it.
Or Kittle. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but McCaffrey and Deebo, they give them the ball so much, bro. They hand
so
it off.
So much, bro. It's crazy.
Throw it to them.
I feel like they overwork them, man.
They're always in motion.
Like, the defense knows where they're going. That's what's going to hurt them.
It's hard for me to even make a decision because it's only, what, Wednesday? Yeah, it's Wednesday. So we still have time to figure out whether Deebo plays or not. What are you thinking? Are you thinking Detroit? Are you thinking the 49ers? Are they going to blow them out?
I feel like this is going to be a good game. I'm going to go with Detroit because they deserve it.
You think they're going to win?
Yeah. Not by a lot. Field goal.
Oh, my God, bro. Detroit's going to go nuts, bro, if they win this.
Dude, they might have to lock the city down.
Bro, that would mean Detroit's going to the Super Bowl, bro. What if they win it? Oh, man, that's going to be crazy.
Jay Goff, big check.
Yeah, he's going to get big money after this. So is Dan Campbell. They're going to change the NFL forever if they win it, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I compare it to the Cubs because it's so similar. Detroit's been a team for so long. How have you not won one Super Bowl? I mean, even the Bears have won a Super Bowl. Like, you know, I hate to say it, but it's true. Like, we've won a Super Bowl. Detroit, yeah. They're like, they had Barry Sanders. Some people say he's the best running back ever. Still no Super Bowl.
They couldn't do it, man.
They just could never do it. They just never had good luck,
so
like the Cubs.
It. They're in our division, so I'm good.
Yeah, and they're in our division. But, you know what I'm saying? It would be a story, man. That would be, like, some crazy stuff.
That's a big story. That's big Netflix documentary.
I mean, pretty much my whole life, the Lions have been, like, the worst team in the NFL. Like, I remember that one year, they didn't even win a game, I don't think, bro. That was the first time ever I've ever seen that.
For a while, man.
Yeah, they just, oh man, it was like they didn't want to spend the money. I don't know exactly what the reason is, but Detroit was just such a bad organization for so long, so long. I really want Detroit to win, but I feel like a lot of what San Francisco lacked that last week could have been from having that extra week off. Sometimes having that bye week actually messes up the team, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, sitting down that extra week, getting kind of rusty, you know. Kind of just chilling, not really going hard. Like, when you stay consistent, I feel like you play better. But I still feel like San Fran's going to win this game big. Maybe even without Deebo.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to say it. I hope Detroit wins, but man, I think San Francisco will probably cover the 7. I think they win by like 28-20. I think they cover it by like 1 point. San Francisco, I think they're going to, you know, be more prepared for this game after playing last week. Yeah. You know, in the second half, they picked it up. In the first half, they looked terrible.
Oh, yeah.
That just goes to help prove my point that they were rusty. They needed to get back out there on the field. Debo's going to be a big part of it, though. If Debo plays, I think they definitely cover. But when you just have only Christian McCaffrey to give the ball to,
yeah,
they're going to know who you're going to give the ball to.
Yeah.
So, is there anything else you want to bring up? Anything going on?
See you next season.
See you next season, Packers.
Go Pack, go.
We still got a lot of like NFL stuff though to go over, yeah, like in the off season. Like there's gonna be free agency. Yeah, free we're gonna agency. Go nuts over that.
Crazy.
The draft.
Fantasy.
Me and cousin Bubby already did a 10-pick mock draft early, bro. We did that bitch already, bro. Mock
Damn.
Draft. Yeah. Before like combine, before all that shit. Holy me and Bubby shit. Dropped the top. Yeah. I got the Bears taking Caleb Williams at pick one. So tune back to that episode if you want to hear it.
Jay Fields, where's he at?
In my mock draft, he goes to Atlanta.
Oh, dude, I see it happening.
Either that or Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh might trade for him. I feel like he would fit good in with Pittsburgh. Because Pittsburgh needs a quarterback.
He can develop in there, too. They got good coaches, you know. I feel like that would be good for him.
I know, but I don't know if they're going to keep him because they got that offensive coordinator from Seattle. I don't know what that means, but if they went with Cliff Kingsbury, who they interviewed, the OC for USC, the coach of Caleb Williams, I thought it was a done deal.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, if they hire this dude, they're definitely getting Caleb Williams.
Over.
But then they hired this guy from Seattle, so I'm not 100% sure what they're going to do.
Maybe this guy develops NFL quarterbacks better, you know what I'm saying?
I would say he does. I told you his track record. He made Geno Smith somebody.
So it might be like a flip game. They're getting this college young quarterback that's going to come into the league, and they got this guy that made Geno Smith big guy last year. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, true.
It could happen.
All right, y'all.
Rookie of the year. Nuts.
At the same time, though, in a way, I do kind of wish they trade back and like did something crazy and drafted Marvin Harrison and yeah, got him with DJ Moore and Justin Fields and let this dude give Justin Fields one more year to really try. I really like Caleb Williams, though. I'm 50-50 about it. I can't say that. I know this is gonna be a big topic for a while.
Yeah.
So is. I mean, we're gonna talk about it all the time.
I'm ready for the draft already.
I know. Because I want to know if we're keeping Fields or not. I can't sleep. I can't sleep at night. I just lay there and I think I'm laying in my bed and I'm like, are the Bears going to keep Justin Fields or are we getting Caleb Williams? This is like huge to me, bro. Like, this isn't something I just
You need to know now.
I need to know now. I mean, I would sleep at night now. But yeah, I lay there awake, tossing, turning, sweating. Wow. I'm like, are we keeping Fields or what? Somebody let me know.
Give him info.
Insight. Yeah, give me info. Break the news. Break I'm it. Tired
man,
of it.
Can I needs it.
Oh, man.
Stressing.
I'm stressing, dude. We need Fields. Get Marvin Harrison. They can get somebody else at, like, pick 9. Badass, dude. I don't care where they draft at. They'll probably get somebody good, a top 10 pick. I mean, come on.
Y'all need an O-line, too.
Yeah, it's gotten better, but actually, in the mock draft, if you go back to it, that episode, at pick 9 the Bears have, I have them taking that tackle from Notre Dame, Joe Alt.
Yeah.
And cousin Bubby's like, oh, well, you got Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright from last year. I'm like, yeah, but Braxton Jones was kind of, I'm pretty sure he was a guard in college, and they moved him to tackle.
Right.
So just put him back at guard.
True.
If he's good at tackle, he's going to be great at guard. Guard's a lot easier than tackle. Yeah, if he can be a tackle, he can be a guard. Put him there. That O-line would be looking badass. Either him or that guy from Penn State. That big, the African-looking dude, bro. Yeah. Oh, my God. Dude's a monster. You got.
There's a lot of overseas guys that they might pick, I've seen a list of people. Like DNs, linebackers, a lot of kickers.
I know that DN from Florida State's going to go high, Jared Verse.
Oh, bro.
That was somebody I heard the Bears have been linked to, too. And I'm, you know, I hate Florida State. We're Miami fans, but, dude, he is a beast. If he went to the Bears, I'd be hyped.
He's like the right size defensive end, bro.
Yeah, him and Montez Sweat on opposite ends. Bro. Oof.
Oof. Chill out.
Chill out. Oh, man. Yeah, it's so exciting, dude. I'm honestly ready for the postseason. I mean, the Super Bowl's going to be great, but and these games are going to be great, but I'm ready for the draft. Like, I'm excited for my team.
Let's get it.
What's gonna happen. Yeah.
2024 season.
All right, y'all.
Hungry.
He's hungry. We're getting out of here.
Oh! Peace.
All right, now let's get into this interview with former Texas Rangers pitcher Danny Hoban. And not only that, but play a Safe Flight commercial. I don't even get paid for playing. I just love Safe Flight. They're great.
Does your windshield have a crack? Trust Safe Flight. This customer had auto glass damage, but he was busy working from home. So he scheduled with Safe Flight in just a few clicks. We came to his house. Then we got to work. We replaced his windshield and installed new wipers to protect his new glass. While he finished his meeting, let Safe Flight come to you.
Looks great. Thank you.
My pleasure. That's service on your time. Schedule now.
Safe Flight Repair, Safe Flight Replace.
Hello.
Yo.
What up, man?
What's up, Danny? How you doing, brother?
That was a long 5 minutes, dude. All right. I'm sitting over here slamming White Claws, fucking thinking, what is this dude about to ask me right now?
I had to get prepared for you, man. You're the first ever celebrity guest I've had on the kennel. So I had to be prepared for you, man. I got to be professional for a little bit. I know I'm usually stoned out of my mind, but I'm saving the joint for after we talk.
Hell yeah. Good for you, dude. It's hard for me to be professional, too. I'm not going to lie. I think this shit's going to get pretty raw right now.
Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on. We're live on the kennel, and I'm with Danny. How do you pronounce your last name? Hoban?
Yeah, Hoban, yeah.
Okay, so I'm with former Texas Rangers pitcher Danny Hoban. We're live on the Kennel Podcast. I just want to thank you. Like I said, you're the first celebrity guest I've ever had, so I really appreciate it. God bless. Thank you for doing it, man. How you doing?
Of course, man. Yeah, listen, and celebrities are a big thing. I manage restaurants for a living now. You know, so my kids think I'm cool as shit, but like other than that, I think that's about it. But I'm doing good. I live in El Paso, Texas, far west side of Texas. It's actually, we're actually below New Mexico. A lot of people don't know where El Paso is, but yeah, we're over here. I mean, yeah, it's been a good day today. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I just dropped my son off at my mom's. Just left the gym, so I'm feeling pretty good. Got me a little ice cold Smirnoff and. You know, just ready to do this interview, man. I'm ready to ask you some questions.
What a bunch of men, huh? Drinking Smirnoff and White Claw. Is it getting more manlier than that?
I know, right?
We should edit that shit out and talk about, like, I don't know, King Cobra or malt liquor or something, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love it. I love it. All right, well, the first question I want to ask you, man, since you're a former Texas Rangers pitcher, the Texas Rangers just won the World Series. I want to ask you your opinion on it. How happy were you that they won it? Yeah, I mean, they won the World Series. I think it was the first time ever they won it, or they won it in a long time. Mm-hmm. So
a funny story is when I got released by the Texas Rangers in, I think it was 2009 or 2010, you know, it was such a, man, I mean, like your music career. I mean, imagine, you know, that's your lifelong dream and, am I going to make it or not? And then you finally do, and then you get released by, you know, the team that drafted you and your career's over. It's worse than like a divorce. I mean, it's like the worst thing ever. I remember calling my dad, you know, being just heartbroken, being like, what the hell do I do now? You know? And so it was really rough. So I didn't follow Texas Ranger baseball for about 10 years because I was so torn up about it. And even though it was the right call, I mean, I did not perform well my last year. And so it was the right call they made. Scott Servais actually was the guy that released me. He's the manager for the Seattle Mariners now. And, so it was the right call, but it was just tough for me. And so I moved to Arizona a couple years after that and became a big Arizona Diamondbacks fan. So I've been a Diamondbacks fan for, man, over 15 years, even when they were terrible and all through the bad years. And so when the Diamondbacks made it to the World Series, against the Texas Rangers, it was a win-win for me. I thought, man, if my Diamondbacks, who I'm a true fan of, make it or win the whole thing, then that's badass. But if the Texas Rangers, you know, my old team, you know, win it, then that's great too. So, yeah, I thought it was great. I thought it was great for Texas Ranger baseball. They've always been known to be able to hit home runs, get on base. You know, their offense is powerful, but they've always lacked pitching. They're kind of like the Colorado Rockies in that sense. They've always hit extremely well, but can't really get the pitching together. And this year they did it. I mean, even without pitching, honestly, I mean, they had the back end of the Rangers bullpen was pretty rough, very scary. So even going into the playoffs, you know, a lot of baseball shows were saying, if Texas makes it to the playoffs, which they almost didn't make it, it was between them, the Seattle Mariners, and the Houston Astros. And they thought, if they don't make it, it's going to be because they're bullpen. And somehow they made it past the first round, made it past the second round, went to the World Series, beat the Diamondbacks, and it was awesome. That Corey Seager home run off of Paul Sewald is, like, stained into my brain. So I was happy to see it. It was cool.
Yeah, Seager went off. Man, the first game was phenomenal. After watching game one, I was so pumped up. I'm like, this might be the best World Series ever. They were like two opposite teams. You had a power hitting team, and then you had a fundamental team. And I mean, other than that first game, it was kind of just Texas Rangers taking over. It really wasn't that close. But it was a good World Series to me. I loved seeing Arizona get there. They're another team that usually isn't in the spotlight as well. So it was nice seeing them there. But that's crazy that your favorite team ended up going against a team that you kind of had some spite against. Wow.
Yeah, you know, and it was cool seeing Arizona go there because there were a bunch of young guys that, you know, DraftKings, I think, had them winning 76 games or whatever at the beginning of the year, and they ended up winning 86 or 87, making the playoffs, beating the Dodgers, beating the Phillies. I mean, that was the biggest thing for us, was beating the Phillies in Philadelphia. I think people forget how much momentum Philadelphia had with Trey Turner and Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber and all these dudes just dropping bombs, and then they got great starting pitching. Somehow we go into Philadelphia down, and we win two games in a row and figure out a way to go to the World Series. I mean, that was probably our biggest win of the season. I thought that was really cool. But, you know, Arizona's got a very bright future. They're a low, dollar team. They don't have a ton of money. They're kind of like the Rays or, you know, some of these smaller market teams.
Right.
But they've got a bright future because they're full of a bunch of young guys. So I'm excited to see what they can do.
Yeah, definitely. They're an exciting team. I'm excited to see what they do next year because, man, they look really good. Like you said, they have a real good young team. But, Let's get back to you, man. I'm interested in your early start to baseball. Did you play Little League? Like, how did you start playing? Did your parents get you into it? Were you into it? Tell me a little bit about that. How did you start playing?
So, funny story. So, when I was, like, in third grade, I played baseball for the first time. Played for 2 years, but I was more into football and basketball is what I played in middle school. And then my freshman year in high school, because I'm left-handed and I was a pitcher, so my dad was like, dude, you're left-handed, you play quarterback for the football team, like, that's, you know, you can write your own ticket. He used to tell me all the time, you can write your own ticket playing baseball, but being a left-handed pitcher, like, you should really look into baseball. So I never really played competitive baseball until I was a freshman in high school. And, you know, it's funny because my first year playing high school baseball, I remember a guy getting on first base and I went from the full windup because I didn't know the rules, and you're supposed to go from the stretch. And so my dad was like yelling from the crowd, like, go from the stretch. And I was like, what's the stretch? Like, I'm just up there throwing as hard as I can. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on. Like, and so, but after I really started to, I realized, dang, you know, I might be able to do something with baseball. I still played basketball and football throughout high school, but I thought, baseball might be my way. I mean, I'm a shorter guy. I'm 5'11", so, you know, playing quarterback, like, is tough unless you're Kyler Murray, like, juking people out of their shoes. I mean, or playing basketball unless you're J.J. Barrera or some dude that's Muggsy Bogues or whatever, you know.
Right.
So it's kind of hard, so I thought baseball's is going to be my thing, and so I really dove into it, really studied it, did decent in high school, and then my senior year, I started having professional scouts show up to my games, and I thought, dang, man, this might actually happen, is when I thought in my senior year, and I ended up not getting drafted And so after my senior year in high school, you have two options in baseball. It's the weirdest damn thing, but you can either go to a four-year school like Division One, like TCU or UT or some of these big dog schools, Florida State, whatever. But once you sign with them and you play there, the rule is you have to play 3 years or until you're 21 years old, until you're eligible to be drafted. So you can't go there for just your freshman year and then get drafted. You have to go until your junior year or until you turn 21 until you can get drafted. And I said, shit, I don't know if I want to do that. Like, school wasn't for me at the time. I thought I hated school. So what are my options? And we had a close friend of ours named Ray Bussiere that called me and said, you can go play junior college, like at a community college. And I said, well, that sounds like a career killer to go play baseball at a community college. And he said, no, dude, a lot of these guys do that. If they don't want to play at a four-year, they'll go play 1 year, freshman year, at a junior college, and then they'll get drafted after their freshman year. So I started looking into it, and the school I ended up signing with was in Arizona called Chandler Gilbert Community College. So I signed with them, went there my freshman year. And when I arrived my freshman year, we had 8 guys on our team that were drafted the year before, but they didn't get the money they wanted. So they said, I'm going to go back for my sophomore year. And so I thought, dang, 8 guys drafted by major league teams and they're on my junior college team. Like, maybe this is legit. And so I played my freshman year there and then played in a summer league, you know, after my freshman year in Dallas called the Texas Collegiate League. They basically take all the best college baseball players in the country and put them all into 1 or 2 or 3 different leagues. Cape Cod's a big one up in the Northeast. But they put them in these leagues in the summer and let them play against like better competition. And then I got drafted. Yeah. That summer of 2006 is how that whole thing started.
Okay. So when you went to that college, did you walk on or did they give you a scholarship or you had to try out? Like, how did that work?
Oh man. Great question. So, you know, growing up in Colorado, not a lot of baseball players come out of Colorado. So I really had to, I was emailing coaches. I was doing a lot of the legwork. And when I went down there, I totally had to walk out. It was no scholarship. I had no money. You know, a lot of the guys on the team did have scholarships. And because they grew up in Arizona, California, Texas. But me growing up in Colorado, no one knew really what I had. And a crazy story was, when I went there, so I only went there my freshman year, and so I show up for the first semester, and I'm living in the dorms, and these, I had a couple good bullpen sessions, and my coach said, all right, like, yeah, you can throw it, like, you know, let's have a good fall and get ready for spring. But there was 80 guys out there, and only 25 make the team, and I thought, man, I got to make this team, because this is all I got, like, I don't know what's going to happen in my sophomore year, and so one night I went back to the dorms. I don't know the last time I told this story. I don't know if even my dad knows the story, and I know he's going to listen to this. So sorry, Dad. But my freshman year, my very first semester, we lived in the dorms, and there was this dorm across the street from us. They were a bunch of cocky frat boys, and they came over and asked us. And I was in dorms with a bunch of, like, computer engineers, like – bunch of dorks, you know, nerds, and I was friends with all of them. Like, I was boys with all, like, the guys in my dorm and all the jocks and everybody else. For whatever reason, I didn't hang out with all them. I hung out with all the dudes in my dorm, and we were all cool. And these guys came across the street, and they were like, hey, you guys want to play football, like 7-on-7? And I was like, shit, I'm down. And I got a bunch of chess players on my team and shit, and I said, I'm down, let's play. So we started to play, and he's like, hey, let's play tackle. And I said, fuck, I don't give a shit, let's go. Like, I'll play tackle. So we start playing tackle, and like 10 minutes into it, a guy horse collar tackles me from behind, and I broke my foot.
Oh, man.
And I said, what am I doing? Like, why am I out here with these idiots playing when I have a chance to get drafted? Like, I was just like, you are. And at the time, I didn't know I broke it. So I just thought it was a bad sprain. It popped for sure. It swelled up like crazy. I was on crutches for 2 months, and but when I first went back to practice and I was on crutches, my coach looked at me and he was like, what the fuck? You know, and I was honest with him. I said, yeah, man, this is what happened. And I'm an idiot. Sorry. And I thought, shit, like, I'm not going to play. And they can medical redshirt you, and then you can start your freshman year the next year again or whatever. But I was like, I don't want to do that. And so, yeah, man, the truth is I iced it like every 30 minutes consistently for 6 weeks, and And I've later found out that's actually really bad for you. You're not supposed to do it that often. But I was just freaking out. And I was like, I got to play this year. I got to play in the spring. So I just iced the shit out of it for every 30 minutes forever. And finally, in December, we had one last workout before the spring season was going to start in January. We all went on Christmas break and then came back in January. But that's when the season started. It was like late January. So we had one more practice in December. And I went out there with no crutches and my fucking foot was killing me. Oh. And I popped, like, no joke, like, this is no exaggeration, I popped like 10 ibuprofen because I was like, I just don't want it to, I don't want to feel anything, and then I can take Christmas break off, ice it, rest, come back, get ready to play. I'm like, this, I'm throwing up a Hail Mary, like, there's no way this is gonna work. And my coach said, all right, let me step in the box, like, against you, and you can throw to me, and I'll just have like a fake, he didn't have a bat or nothing, he just stood in there like a hitter. And I threw as hard as I could the first pitch. It was like 92. And I thought, all right. And I didn't feel my foot at all because I was all zapped out on freaking ibuprofen. And and he said, all right. He's like, well, you leave that over the plate in this league. He's like, that's going to get hit a long ways. So I didn't say anything. He's like trying to fucking get under my skin or whatever. So I was right. Like, all right, whatever. So I just went back to the mound. And next pitch, I threw a curveball, and it was probably the best curveball I ever threw in my life. And his knees like buckled. Like, he, like, backed up a little bit, and all my teammates were like, oh, at the same time. And then I looked at him right in the eyes, and I said, what about that one? Like, here's this kid trying to make the team, and he's talking shit to his coach. Like, what are you doing, dude, you know? And right after that, that's the only pitch he saw, and he's like, all right, you're on the team, let's go. And that was it. So I started playing, had a good freshman year, and then went to that summer league. But that was a funny story.
Did that injury affect, like, your playing at all? Or, like, after that tryout, it kind of just went away? Or did it kind of linger and, you know, throughout the season? Did you feel it? Like, or did you just...
So, after I got drafted, I got health insurance because I didn't have health insurance as a freshman in college. And so, I got health insurance and I got an X-ray. And sure enough, that's when I first found out it was broken. I thought it was a sprain the whole time. And, I went and got an X-ray, and the doctor said there's like a half an inch gap on my left foot on the far left side, like that side bone.
Oh, man.
And I said, well, what do we got to do to fix it? And he was like, well, you got to get surgery because it's separated. You got to put a screw in there, and you got to pull it together and all this shit. And I said, fuck that. I'm not doing any of that. So to this day, it's not fixed, but I can run fine. Everything's perfect. Like, I don't feel it. Like, everything, there's nothing wrong with that, which... You know, as a 36-year-old adult now, I think that was really dumb to do that. But I just thought, if the Rangers find out that I had this injury the whole time, like, what does that mean with my contract? Like, I was just like, no, I can't get surgery right after I sign. Like, I was just really freaked out about it. So, I got extremely lucky with that whole thing.
Man, you got to be a pretty tough dude, Danny, to pitch through a broken foot. God dang, man.
Ibuprofen, baby.
Ibuprofen.
It says 2 to 4. Like, do not exceed 4 pills. And I said, nah, I'm good.
Oh, okay. Man. All right, so yeah. You were a pitcher. Were you like a heater pitcher? You threw that fastball, or were you more of a breaking ball guy? I know you told me about that nasty curveball you threw. So were you more of a breaking ball guy or a heater guy or a little bit of both?
You know, in high school and college, since I could touch 91, 92, in high school and college, you can blow that past people. But once you get in the pros, that's nothing to them. That's like batting practice. So you got to really learn how to spot your pitches and throw off-speed pitches. So they drafted me, actually, as a left-handed specialist, which they don't have that position anymore. So back in the day, you could pull in a like if Barry Bonds was up, you could call in a left-handed pitcher just to throw to only Barry Bonds. He throws a one-hitter. And then he's out of the game. Well, now they have rules for that. So now you have to, when you come into the game as a relief pitcher, you have to come in and face at least 3 batters. But back then when I played, it was, they didn't have that rule. So they drafted me as a left-handed specialist because of my breaking stuff. So my slider and curveball were what the scouts said, and I'm not flexing by any means. I mean, this is not like a flex or nothing.
No, flex, man. Flex it.
They said we're major league pitches. Like, my slider was a major league pitch for sure. And coming out of high school, coming out of college, I mean, my freshman year. So definitely my breaking ball was my way to go. If I ever got in a tight spot, I knew I could always throw that to get people out. But it definitely gets harder when you get higher up, for sure, in the pros and all that.
Nice, nice. So I know you've, you know, playing pro ball. I know you've went up against some good competition and some good players. Who's the best player you've ever seen play? It could be high school, pro ball, college ball. Who's the best player you've ever seen play, hands down?
Ever seen? So he pitched against us, so he wasn't on my team. But Greg Maddux had a spring training start against us one time, and I thought, shit, Greg Maddux is the GOAT. I mean, he's crazy. And the craziest thing about Greg Maddux is he looks like a guy that's, you know, typing on his typewriter every night, writing his own books. Like, he looks like somebody's neighbor. Like, he just looks like a regular guy. And I remember every time he would miss his spot, like, he would aim for the outside corner, and if he would miss it by a little bit, he would scream, fuck. And I thought, damn, dude. Like, I grew up my whole life thinking Greg Maddux is the Boy Scout of baseball players. And every time he would miss a spot, fuck, he would yell it out loud. And I was like, god damn, dude, he is crazy. Like, so that was probably the greatest player I ever saw play, at least not, like, as a fan, but as a player, play against us was Greg Maddux, for sure. I played I had Josh Hamilton. I don't know if you remember him.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Josh Hamilton, Kenny Lofton.
Kenny Lofton. I love him.
Kenny Lofton. Yeah, Sammy Sosa. Sammy Sosa was on the Rangers for his last year of his major league career. But so I got to, like, work out. I remember one time Sammy Sosa and Kenny Lofton were – because with Texas Rangers, their spring training facility, you share a weight room with – the major league, like, with all the big dogs. And so a lot of different, you know, organizations, they have, like, separate for all the high dollar guys work out in one area and all the lower dollar guys work out in the other area. And Texas Rangers weren't like that. So one time, I mean, as a pitcher, if you don't know, you only work out your lower body. Like, you never bench, you never do shoulder dips, or you never do, like, any sort of upper body workout other than bands and flexibility stuff. Because the stronger you get up top actually slows down your flexibility and can cost you some velocity. But sure enough, Kenny Lofton was benching one time, and I told my buddy, I said, I'm going to go bench next to fucking Kenny Lofton. And he's like, yeah, but we don't even bench. I said, I don't give a shit. That's Kenny Lofton, dude. So I went, and I laid down, and I'm sitting there benching for the first time in, like, 4 years, dude, right next to Kenny Lofton, and my buddy's, like, laughing. So there's a lot of, like, big guys that you, like, come across throughout your career, but that was probably – Sammy Sosa was probably – that was a big one, too. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm a diehard Mets fan, but growing up, I grew up in Illinois. And, dude, when I was a kid, Sammy Sosa was God. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved Sammy Sosa, and Kenny Lofton was on that team as well. But, man, Sammy – slamming Sammy was the man. What happened with him, dude? Was he starting, like, to turn white towards the end, or did he do that after his career? Because now I see pictures of him, and the dude's paler than me. Like,
was... He's like Michael Jackson.
I know. What happened to him?
When he showed up for spring training after we signed him to, like, a minor league deal, and I thought, shit, we signed fucking Sammy Sosa. That's sweet. So he showed up, and he had all these Louis Vuitton bags, and he's, like, pulling them in, and he started to turn. Like, you could tell that his skin complexion was lighter. I don't know what happens with all that. I don't know if that's something that he did on purpose or what, but for sure, if you look up a picture of him, like, present day now, he looks like an albino black guy.
Yeah, but I didn't know that happened. Somebody was telling me about Sammy Sosa, and they showed me a picture of him, and I'm like, no, that's not Sammy Sosa.
Sammy.
Yeah, Sammy's dark, dude. And they're like, no, this is Sammy. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, dude, it's weird.
It is weird.
He's a weird dude. I mean, we all say, like, when you make it that big, like, oh, I would handle it great. It's like, man, when you make it that bad, you see people like Kyrie Irving saying the earth's flat, and, like, you see all these dudes, like, when they make it so big, they feel like that they could do anything, or they could say anything, or become anything, and they're untouchable, and I think sometimes that, I don't know if it's the fame that got to him, or if it was, I don't think it's a condition. I'm pretty sure he did that on his own.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, because I've watched a couple documentaries, and it was, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's kind of the same thing that Michael Jackson did, some type of bleaching your skin.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about it, but I wasn't sure if he started that towards the end of his career or he waited till he retired, so I'm guessing he started it when he was with the Rangers. And yeah. Wow. Who's your favorite player that you played with? If you can name one.
You know, I don't know if you remember when the Texas Rangers made it to the World Series against St. Louis Cardinals, and David Fries hit like a walk-off home run, and the Rangers lost. They didn't win the World Series, but this is a horrible story, by the way. But the guy that gave up that game-winning home run that cost them the World Series, his name is Neftali Feliz, dude from the Dominican. And I came across him like 3 or 4 years ago. He was in AAA with the Dodgers, and we have a AAA team here in El Paso called the El Paso Chihuahuas. And his team came here, and I was like, man, let's see if he remembers me. I don't know if he will. It's been 10 years, and I brought my kids, and he remembered me for sure and came across out of the fence and took pictures of my kids and was super cool to me. So Neftali Feliz was cool. Derek Holland was one. He had a 10-year MLB career. He was a left-handed pitcher, came out of junior college like I did. He was cool. He was always good to me, too. So, okay. Yeah, I'd say Derek Holland, Neftali Feliz. Mitch Moreland was another one. He played for the Red Sox for 8 years, I think. But, yeah, some of those guys, they're cool.
All right, and let's talk a little present baseball. Let's say I'm getting on DraftKings right now and I got $100. Who should I put my $100 on right now to win the World Series?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. First three that popped in my head are all NL teams. So I'd say the Braves, the Phillies, or the Dodgers. But you can't bet against the Texas Rangers. I think Jacob DeGrom's coming back. They won the World Series without him.
Yeah.
I think that's incredible. I think he's coming back at the end of this, like maybe August of 2024. I'm going to have to look that up because I don't know if that's accurate or not. But, yeah, I would say those are my four teams, and you can never keep the Astros out. They just signed Josh Hader, best closer in the league. So I would say those five. I know you want me to say, okay, Mets are six. Whatever.
Hey, we can be honest, man. My Mets have not done anything. They haven't really signed anybody other than Harrison Bader. I mean, I don't know what they're doing. They're apparently planning for next year, so I don't have too much faith.
What's that dude's name? Senga or whatever that starting pitcher is?
Yeah.
He's badass.
Yeah, Kodai Senga. He's got the ghost forkball, man.
Yeah, man. That dude's legit.
You know, I literally live like 15 minutes from Port St. Lucie, so I go to all their practices. I try to go to all the spring training. Yeah, so I go to all the spring training games and meet the players. And, you know, I'm a fourth-generation Mets fan, man. My great-grandpa was a Mets fan, my grandpa, my dad, so you know, I love the Mets, man. I love them.
That's awesome. You know, they when they signed all those, when Cohen took over, like, I thought, man, he's going to spend some money. And he did. He got all these dudes. And then I don't know what happened, dude. I'm a Cowboys fan, so they're kind of reminding me of my Cowboys, dude. I'm like, they got all the shit. And then they just tanked, dude. I don't know what happened, but yeah.
Oh, man. How about them Cowboys?
Mm-hmm. I listened to your podcast, the last episode you did. I just listened to it yesterday, and I thought, man, dude, like, that was just hard to watch, dude. I mean, it was just embarrassing. It was, like, crazy embarrassing. I thought, you know, thank God we got the Green Bay Packers, is what I thought. All right, cool. Like, we can't fuck that up. Like, all right, we got the Packers. And then sure enough, dude, like, they just shit the bed. And Aaron Jones is from El Paso, where I live. So his wife and son and whole family came in to dinner in my restaurant the very next day on Monday. And my wife and my three kids happened to be there at the same time. And my kids were like, go over and ask for a picture. And I was like, with who? His wife? Like, Aaron Jones wasn't there. It was just his wife and his kid and I don't know who else. There was like six or seven people there. And I thought, I kept looking at him like, I should charge them double, dude. Because he ran all over us.
Oh, yeah, he ran crazy.
Yeah. So that was embarrassing, man. The Cowboys are tough. But if I had to pick one MLB team, I would say the Braves.
The Braves.
The Atlanta Braves. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I'm not favorite right now, but yeah, I'd say the Braves.
I'm pretty sure the Dodgers are the number one favorite, and then I think it's the Braves, and then I think it's Houston. It switches every so often because players are getting signed and stuff like that. But
yeah,
you know, the Dodgers are the villains now of the MLB after getting all them big name guys.
And so, not even paying any of them until 10 years later.
Yeah.
That's insane to me. That is insane. How is that even allowed? Like, that's insane to me, but good for them. That's genius.
I know that. I know my one of my best friends is a Dodgers fan, and he's on a high right now. And I'm just like, dude,
I bet.
I'm just like, dude, I hope any team but y'all win it. Now I'm even rooting for the Braves, man.
For real. Yeah, dude, for real. I've always hated the Dodgers because me being a Diamondbacks fan, like, we've always hated the Dodgers, and they have twice the money we have, and they win all these, you know, conference titles. And I'm like, yeah, you guys got twice the money we got, so of course you're gonna win a lot of games. But they remind me a little bit of the Cowboys. They only make it to the playoffs every year and they lose. They won the 2020 World Series. Who cares? 60 games. That shit doesn't count, dude. Come on, man.
Oh, but, man. Yeah, you know,
tough to bet against.
You know, the Dodgers used to have spring training in Vero Beach, and that's where I live. They ended up leaving because, they said the facility wasn't up to standards and they wanted to go to Arizona to be closer to L.A., which I understand. But, man, it was nice having the Dodgers literally 5 minutes from my house, man.
Dude, that's sweet.
I know. So, a lot of people in Vero
Beach.
Why were
they on the East Coast? Because of, they used to be the Brooklyn Dodgers?
Yes.
And they just never moved?
Yeah, they used to be the Brooklyn Dodgers. So, I mean, even Jackie Robinson used to play in Vero Beach, man. It's an historic.
Oh, that's badass.
I know. And it was 5 minutes from my house. The first time I went there, I was 9 years old, and I met Tommy Lasorda right when I walked in. I'm like, this is, yeah, I know. I'm like, this is awesome. Tommy Lasorda stomping around.
Oh, awesome.
All right, man. Well, before we get out of here, you mentioned something to me about a Bob Menery story. I don't know if you want to share it or not before you get out of here, but I was very interested in that.
Yeah, well, you know, you and I were going back and forth. We were talking about podcasting, and I did this podcast for 2 years. I think we had a total of 30 episodes, and then you know, I was like a menace. I found out about Bob Menery back in the COVID days when he had the Ripper Magoo podcast with his co-host Timmy Bounceback, and there was a girl named Lauren Sesselman who's a gold medal winning soccer player, female soccer player, and it was them three that did this podcast, and like 2019 2020. And my brother told me about it, and I said, I'll listen to it. And his first guest ever, like, imagine, you're in season two, right, for your podcast?
Yeah, it's like my first legit season. My season one was exclusively on SoundCloud, and it pretty much is. So it wasn't too legit. I did it out of my kitchen. So, but yeah, this is season two. Yeah, I'm about 7 months in from when I did my first episode.
Okay, cool. Very cool. Yeah, well, season one, episode one for Bob Menery, he had never done a podcast before this first episode, and he got the guy that killed Osama bin Laden, whatever that dude's name is, the Navy SEAL. That was his first guest.
Wow.
His fourth guest was Shaq, and I said, I thought, man, is this guy used to be an actor? Like, who is he? No, nothing. He's a caddy for golfers. Like, he's like a nobody, but he's funny as shit, and he's super easy to listen to, and they would do these podcast episodes. And they would do no, like, preparation, like, whatsoever. Like, they wouldn't prepare for it. They would just shoot the shit. And I thought that was awesome. And so I really started listening to them. And long story short, I opened up my own restaurant in 2020. October 2020 is a wing place. And right across the street from us was the iHeartRadio building here in El Paso. So a lot of their radio DJs would come in and have lunch, and I met this guy that worked for Fox Sports named Mike Tipton, still a good friend of mine, and he had me on his show one day talk about baseball stuff, and then the next week we did another episode, and I thought, man, this is cool, and it's going good, and the very next year, I started my own podcast. We did like 10 episodes. I had a Yeti mic that, it's for real, dude. This is serious. I almost didn't say it, but I was like, nah, dude, be real, you know? But I bought this mic from this crackhead at a gas station. Like, he had a brand new mic with a webcam, and it had never been opened, and he wanted $60 for it. I looked it up on Google. It was like $200 for that exact package, so I paid him $60. Pretty sure it was stolen. This is a true story. And so I used that to start my podcast, and we had like 10 or 15 episodes that we did on that one Yeti mic, but you could hear the background, like you could hear the echo in my kitchen, and I thought, man, am I going to go for this or not? And then Mike Tipton called me from Fox and said, I just got credentials for us to go to the NFL draft in Vegas. And he's like, you want to go? And I said, I'm down. So we went and we got to meet Aiden Hutchinson, Sauce Gardner from the Jets, like all these big. And I thought, dude, I have no journalism background. Like, I have no, like, experience in this broadcasting world or reporter world whatsoever. So when that happened, when I was in Vegas, I bought my own podcast equipment. It was like $2,500. I bought the mixer, the Rode mics, like all this stuff, and said, I'm just going to go for it. And it was called the Danny Luke Show. And we started doing more important, like better episodes. We had an actor from Netflix on. We had, you know, a guy that I used to play professional baseball with, Ben Henry. We had him on once. You know, we did a lot of little things here and there. And then Bob Menery, who was like the reason I started podcasting, I would blow up celebrities on DMs like every day. I would say 250 celebrities are going to get a DM from me every single day until somebody answers me. 95% of them wouldn't even open them. 5% of them would open them, or 4% of them would open them and not reply. And one time I bought a Ripper Magoo hoodie, and I did a reel where I was opening the brand new package, and I tagged Timmy Bounceback, who was his co-host, and I tagged Bob Menery and Lauren Sesselman. And then Timmy rolled back with like flames. Like, he put like three flames. And I said, holy shit, Timmy Bounceback wrote me back. So I wrote him back again. I said, hey man, big fan. Like, appreciate all you do. Like, whatever. And he's like, oh, thanks, appreciate it. And I said, why is this fucking guy texting me back? I said, this is like the chance that I have right now to do a big time, on my opinion, big time celebrity on this podcast. So I'm going to go for it. And I said, hey man, I need 5 minutes of your time. You can call in, because all my equipment and shit, you can just call in or whatever. So I said, you just call in and I want to ask you some questions, because I'm just a huge fan of yours, dude. And he said, yeah, man, I'm down. He's like, I can even zoom in if you want. And I thought, why is all this happening? Like, I can't believe how easy this is. Like, I've been grinding for over a year trying to get people to get on the show, and no one would ever come on and all that stuff, and it's tough. And finally, I got Timmy Bounceback, the co-host of my favorite podcast ever, to be on the show. And right at that point, if you remember, Bob Menery was already with the Nelk Boys. Dang, what was the name of that podcast? They still have it.
Full Send. Yeah, Full Send.
Yeah, Full Send. So he had just gotten fired like 3 weeks before me and Timmy were going back and forth. And like the next day I texted Timmy and said, hey man, are you good today? Like, what kind of time can you do it? He's like, let's do this afternoon. I said, cool. So I call my brother. I'm like, dude, Timmy Bounceback's about to be on my fucking podcast. Like, this is crazy. And I, sure enough, I get home and he texted me and said, hey man, I can be on in 10 minutes. And I've been following his story like throughout the day. And if you don't know Timmy Bounceback, it's one of the Nelk Boys, Steve Will Do It. It's his uncle, Uncle Timmy. So that's the same guy, Timmy Bounceback. So, and throughout the whole story, watching his story throughout the day, he was betting on horses, drinking since nine in the morning. Dude was going hard on like a Tuesday. And so finally when he called in to my show, I said, dude, Timmy Bounceback, like, I'm a huge fan. Like, what's going on, man? He's like, Timmy Bounceback reporting for duty. Like, he was all fucked up. And I said, I was like, so what's going on, man? So I started asking him about why him and Bob stopped doing the podcast. And he said, well, Bob got a huge opportunity with the Nelk Boys, huge platform. So they did that. And he kind of went on and did his own thing. I said, yeah, but now that Bob's done, are you guys going to revisit this? Like, are you guys going to jump back on the podcast or not? And he said, I don't know, dude, you know, blah, blah, blah. He's like, I want Bob to be on, and I want to do a rerun of what we did before, because at one point, besides Joe Rogan, they had the number one podcast in the country for like over 6 months.
Wow.
And him and Timmy Bounceback and Lawrence Desselman. So I said, you guys got to run it back, because that shit was better than the Nelk Boys, in my opinion. I thought, man, that was more real, more raw. And he said, yeah, we want to do it. I said, so what do you think happened? I thought, this is my chance to ask them intense questions. And I said, what do you think happened with Bob and the Nelk Boys? And I said, is it the Adderall? Like, is it like Bob partying too much? And he basically let loose. And I know it was because he was fucked up. And he said, you know, Bob Menery and his Adderall addiction, and he thinks everyone's out to fuck him, and he's, and I don't know if you ever watched the show Entourage, but E! From Entourage, Kevin Connolly, was the one that produced Bob's original podcast, the Ripper Magoo podcast. And he goes, Kevin Connolly gave him $150,000 to start the podcast. Everyone in Hollywood said that Kevin Connolly's crazy for giving Bob, who's a nobody, $150,000 to start a podcast. They said that's a huge waste of an investment. And I'm sure, and sure enough, it took off like crazy. They made tons of money doing it. But the whole time, Bob was worried that, that Kevin was going to fuck him. Kept saying, he's going to screw me out of money, like all this stuff. Bob was just very paranoid, like very, very paranoid. And he said, you know, his Adderall addiction, he's like, I talked to his mom about it. And Timmy was just going off. And I thought, shit, you know, this episode was going great until he said that, because I'm a big Bob Menery fan. So what do I do now? Like, I can't post this shit, like, because that's going to make Bob look bad. Like, if I air this episode, like, dang, you know?
Right.
So I reached out to Bob Menery, and of course I didn't hear back, but I reached out to his agent, Zach Hiller, and Zach wrote me back and said, send me the episode. So I sent him the episode, and he wrote back and said, Bob does not want that. And I said, I understand. And he said, and if you don't, like, if you do us that favor by not leaking that episode, like, Bob will do your next episode with you.
Wow.
And I said, let's fucking go, dude. Like, Bob Menery, like, my idol on, dude. Like, that'd be awesome, you know? Well, 3 months turned into 6 months, turned into 9 months.
Oh, man.
And it was one of those stories, you know? And I thought, and I kept emailing and I'm sorry, DMing Zach Hiller, his agent. I was like, hey, is Bob good for this? I even told Zach Hiller, his agent, I said, I can fly to Miami where Bob lives, and I'll get a hotel room. We'll do it in person. Like, I don't care. Like, we can do it on the phone, in person. I'll come to you guys. I'll make it easy. And finally, so Zach would message me back. No, he's not available. No, he's not available. No, he's not available. Which I get it, because those dudes are busy as shit. I totally understand it. And so finally I told Zach, I said, listen, you know, I have a job to do too. Like, I'm trying to blow this podcast up, so I have an opportunity. And I said, so if Bob can do it and he's being real, then let's do it. But if he can't, then I'm going to air that episode. And Zach never wrote me back. So then I messaged Kevin Connolly on Instagram. I should send you screenshots of all my shit, because of course I saved it all. So I messaged Kevin Connolly and I said, dude, you know, Timmy Bounce Back was on my podcast. He said a lot of things, said some shit about you, said some shit about Bob Menery. Kevin Connolly said, send me the episode. He wrote me back and I said, let's go, dude. So I sent it to him and he wrote back and said, fuck it, post it. And I said, okay. So I wrote Zach one more time. Hey, I'm going to post it. Never heard from him again. And I posted it. And 2 days later, Bob Menery had another episode come out and Timmy Bounce Back, because they were running it back, and Timmy Bounce Back was not on that episode. It was some chick.
Wow.
I said, that's weird. So the next episode, a week later, my son just walked out, but I'm in my car, so it's not all echoey, but the next week, another episode came out and it was some guy. So I wrote Timmy and I said, yo, are you not on the podcast anymore? And he goes, no, I'm not. And I said, what? Why? What happened? And he goes, your pod killed me.
Oh, my. You're the reason, dude.
And I said, no, dude.
Oh.
I literally told him, I said, no. I said, for real, dude? And he goes, it is what it is. And I said, Timmy, I am so fucking sorry. Dude, honestly, that's the main reason I stopped podcasting. Because I thought, you know, this is a dirty
my
business.
God.
So you got to take your shot when you have it. And then that happened. And I was like, fuck, I didn't want this to happen. Like, I did not want this to happen.
Holy
but it's almost
crap.
Like, how foolish can you be, like, as an individual, like, to think that nothing bad's going to happen, like, when you post something like that? But I thought, you know what, dude, Zach's not getting back to me. Like, Kevin Connolly gave me the go-ahead, so fuck it. I'm just going to go for it. And that happened. And I thought, you know what, fuck this. Because, you know, Joe Rogan makes $100,000. Like an episode for his Spotify deal that he signed. And I thought, if Timmy Bounce Back and Bob Menery run this thing back, you know, maybe they won't get 100K, but they'll maybe get 25K an episode. And that would be a huge deal for Timmy Bounce Back. And I thought, I fucked him out of that.
Wow.
And that sucks. And I felt like shit, dude. So I canceled everything, took all my episodes down because I just felt terrible. I mean, I didn't know. I guess it's stupid because it's like, well, what did you think was going to happen, you know, like, by posting that? But I thought I'd get a bunch of views. I thought Barstool would reach out to me. I thought some of these dudes would be like, damn, how did you get that or whatever? But I never heard shit from anybody. And yeah, that was the end of it. So, and I've never shared that. I lied to you on when we were DMing because I forgot. But I shared it on Mike Tipton's show, The Tipping Point. I shared that about 2 years ago. But you're the second show that I've actually shared that on. Because when it happened, it was about 2 years ago. And I told Mike, I said, dude, what do I do? And he was like, you should talk about it. Like, fuck it. At this point, it's, you know, get as much out of it as you can. And that was it.
Wow, dude. I don't even know what to say. And that was your favorite show. That is crazy. Oh, like, dude, man.
And you and I have had some conversations, like, about certain people, celebrities, and how they're not who you think they are and whatever else, right? And
so right.
I thought, and I've heard that my whole life. So I thought, you know what, dude? Like, I mean, I didn't know what to do. I mean, I'm such a good guy, nice person that I thought, I'm not going to do this, but what am I going to mean? Dude, journalists and podcasters sometimes get a one in a million chance like this, and I thought, I'm just going to go for it. Like, fuck yeah. It. Maybe this will blow up my show. And
right.
It ended up making me feel like shit, and I said, fuck, why did I do that? And there's no taking it back now.
I mean, that's the business, though, man. You know what I'm saying? You really didn't do anything wrong, but at the end of the day, I guess your podcast is the reason that bounced back. He wasn't allowed to be back with Menery. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'll send you those screenshots to validate that so you know I'm not full of shit. But yeah,
No. I believe you, dude. Man. I believe you. Wow. That is crazy. I was not expecting to hear that.
You're like, I bet he has a super positive Bob Miller story. Let me hear this.
I know.
Timmy bounce back. God dang it.
Yeah, I was not expecting that. Wow. Unreal.
Yeah, so.
Oh, man. Yeah. Wow. Well, you haven't spoken to
ending on that note.
you haven't spoken to Bounce Back or Menery or anything, and have you recently, or was that the end of it?
No, that was the end of it. I apologized to Timmy, and he said, it is what it is, and then he stopped following me. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, before we get out of here, is there anybody you want to give a shout out to? Go for it.
Just my wifey Dolly. You know, she was all pumped up for this episode. She was like, "Dude, good luck!" And she was so. Anyway, she's my rock. She's my other half. And then
hell yeah.
Mike Tipton. He's the guy that helped me get all anything started. He works for Fox Sports, so check out his show on Spotify, the Tipping Point. He's got some good stuff. So.
Okay.
But I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to do that. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. Like I said, you were the first celebrity I've ever had. I really appreciate it. It's a blessing, man. Former Texas Rangers pitcher, Danny Hobin's on the show. He told us a lot, man. You told us about the baseball. You told us about Bob Menery. I mean, I don't think I could have asked for any more than that.
You bet, man. No problem.
I appreciate you coming on, man. And, I hope your family's good. I hope everybody's good and everything, you know, stays good with y'all and your restaurant and everything. And like I said, I appreciate you coming on, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, man. And good luck to you, too. And if anyone's listening, because I told all my friends and family that they have to listen to this, like, just for your benefit, because you as an artist, like, your stuff's legit. And I don't have to say that. I can just end the podcast. But your music is legit. It's badass, and your podcast is good. It's easy to listen to. I listen to it on my way to work every day, so it's like, damn. Like, so you're about to take off, and I thought, dude, let me get into it with this guy before he makes it all big and shit. I'm a big fan of yours too, dude. So I appreciate you having me on, and best of luck to you. And I know we'll be in contact in the future. But
oh yeah, definitely, dude. I hope everything you said, you know, happens, and I hope it's true. And if it does happen, man. You were the first guest, you know, that I've had on here. So that's big, man. So, you know, Bob Menery might have had the dude that killed Osama bin Laden, but I had Danny Hobin, former Texas Rangers pitcher. Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. Fuck yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, man. All right, brother. I hope you have a good night. Thanks again. Yeah, it was great. I'm definitely going to have you back on. I appreciate all the information. I hope you have a good night, brother.
Yeah, you too, man. Thanks for having me on, bro.
All right, bro. Thank you. I'm going to stay in touch. Obviously, I hope you do as well.
Of course, man. You bet. Take care.
All right, bro. Bye.
Later.